If you take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to put a little bit of a bow on this particular thought and about commitment. But so far we've talked about how commitment is that thing that sets us apart, if you will, to God. And we understand that we're to consecrate or set ourselves apart unto God. God is the sovereign one. He is the one that gets to decide what happens in this world, right? And so we need to put ourselves under his sovereignty. We do that with commitment. We can commit our life as a whole. We can commit our time. We can commit our talent. We can commit our treasure. I love the illustration church service, and they're putting the offering plate, passing it around, and it comes to a little girl, and she takes the plate and she looks at the plate, and she puts the plate on the ground, and she gets into the plate and she stands in the plate, and her mother asks you, "What are you doing?" She says, "I don't have anything else to give Jesus but me." You know what? That's how it should be. Now, if you don't have to go get into our offering plates if you don't want to. That's do it in your heart, okay? Do it in your mind. That's what it means to make a commitment and to be committed to our God. So as we consider this thought and we kind of wrap up this thought of commitment for for tonight, if you will, if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, I want to, once again, we started with the question that Paul asked on the Damascus Road, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And now we're here in Philippians, and Paul writing to the Philippians, and just listen to the words he says here. I'm gonna pick him up here in, in verse 5. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, in Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Do you see his determination and his commitment here? Okay? So he goes on to say, yea, doubtless, and I count all things. But loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, which, by the way, Paul had a big old stack of righteousness, his own righteousness. Remember what he said about that. It's all filthy rags. Okay? So, but he said, if I had to be based, if I had to be judged on my own thing, I've got a stack of righteousness. I do. He said, but it's not about that. It's all lost for Christ. He goes on to say, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That's how he wanted to be found. He didn't want to be found on his own stack of righteousness. He wanted to be found in the righteousness of Christ. And that ought to be our goal. Now, should we be righteous and stack up righteousness? Absolutely. There's nothing, that's a good thing. But that's not what I'm counting on. I'm counting on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So he goes on, he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And we're going to stop there and I'll just give some closing thoughts about this thing of commitment. So as we've talked about making a commitment to God. Now, it could be in the form of something we've been talking about and praying about. Faith, promise, giving. That's a commitment. Okay. Giving the tithes and offerings. That's a commitment. Even though it's a command, it's still something we have to commit to. How many of you obey every command that God has ever told you? Unfortunately, no, right? So you understand this thing of making a commitment. It might be, like I said, it might be your life as a whole. It might be your time. It might be your talent. It might be your treasures. whatever it might be, we must make a commitment. We need to have a Lord, what wilt thou have me to do attitude. Now, get this, all the time. Okay? Not some of the time. Not in just the good times, but all of the time. Let me use an example. Marriage vows. That's a commitment. Correct? In the good times. Some of the time? All the time? Okay, good. Now, I'm just making sure you all are agreement on this, okay? Yes. I mean, doesn't it say that in the vows? For better, for worse, sickness and health, all those things? Yeah. And you know what? This ring doesn't mean that I said yes to one lady. Okay? It means I said no to all the others. Okay, that's really what it means. Okay? Do we say yes to God? We should say no to everything else. That should be our commitment. Did you listen to the words that Paul wrote? He's as we read them, he said, look, my life is for Christ. Period. Was he serious about the commitment that he made on the Damascus Road? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I believe he is. We read in previous messages how he told Timothy that he was ready to be offered. And he'd finished his course. And he had kept the faith. And he knew that there was that crown of righteousness waiting for him that Christ would give him at his appearing. He made a record of his commitment to God. We talked about him yielding himself and obeying Christ in every step of the way. Remember the story, or rather the account, of how they wanted to go into part of Asia, and this Holy Spirit wouldn't let them. And so he went anyways, because that's where he wanted to go. No. But isn't that what we do? Unfortunately. No, he waited, and God sent a vision, a man from Macedonia, saying, come over here and help us. You see, Paul had so many examples of this. But as we kind of wind this up tonight and think about this, as we look back on commitment, understand that wherever this commitment falls, in whatever category it falls, and it may fall in several categories, but us being committed to Jesus Christ is a personal commitment. It's between you and your God. Did you notice that Paul uses this terminology here? He says, Christ Jesus, my Lord. Did you remember from last week? I'm trying to remember if I was here last week. I was here last week. When Joseph was talking about this, you understand to the lady there. Well, not really a lady. To this woman, he said, "How can I sin against God?" Did you know that Joseph had a personal relationship with God? It was his God. Over and over in Scripture, we understand that. That the people say, my God, our God. You understand, this is a personal thing. And if he's your God, then we should know that there is an order of events that'll take place if we break our commitment. If we sidestep our commitment. We have to treat this as serious as we can. Because commitment is personal. It means something. It's of value. Paul said, I'm going to count whatever I've earned on my own as dung. It's not worth anything. But what I have in my Savior, Jesus Christ, is worth everything. Do you feel that way? Or are you sandbagging? How many of you know what that means? Yeah. No. I'm going to just keep some back just in case I need it. No, we don't need to keep some back just in case we need it. He's our all in all. He's our everything. I can remind you about Colossians chapter 3. You understand that as we look at Jesus, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. That's how commitment makes us feel. That's how commitment is personal. As we read what Paul says, he says, I found and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. He said, all this righteousness that I thought I had as a Pharisee is not really righteousness. But what I have in Christ is everything. And that's what it means to have a personal commitment with God. This word is being misused by modern churches today. When they talk about salvation, they talk about making a commitment to the Lord. Can I tell you something? That's not the same thing. That's not what salvation is. Salvation is not making a commitment to God. In other words, we're not going to God and say, God, if you'll save me, I'll do this. That's a commitment. That's not what salvation is. Not a bargaining chip, people. No, commitment comes after salvation. You can't be committed to something you don't have. You don't have Jesus until you have salvation. When we come to Jesus for salvation, it's not commitment, it's surrender. It's, I give up. You're the Savior. I'm the one that needs to be saved. That's not a commitment. You are giving up everything to the Lord, and you're giving him your sin, and he's giving you salvation. Amen? And that's what salvation is. When we come before Christ, then we can make a commitment. We need to make sure we're using this word in its proper form. It's a personal thing. Secondly, our level of commitment and our commitment to Christ is a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing. You wanna prove you have a changed life in Jesus Christ? Live a committed life. Live a committed life. Be committed to Christ. Guess what people will call you? Peculiar. Oh, you're one of those. Yes, I am. Thank you. We need to make sure that the far-reaching effect of our commitment glorifies God. Think about this. When we commit to God, whatever it is, and that carries out to its fruition, who receives the glory and the honor and the praise for it? God does. Think about this. When we break that commitment, what does it do? Bring shame and dishonor, not only to us, but to our God. Our commitment has a far-reaching effect. We've read scriptures. Think about Joseph and his life. Peter and John, and these examples we read last week about Daniel, and these others like Zacchaeus. That had a resounding effect in the community. But please know that a tax collector giving back money has a resounding effect in his community. Because that doesn't happen. That's... Whoa! Okay? Think about Joseph and what he was able to accomplish. Think about Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and what they were able to accomplish because of their commitment to the Lord. It was a powerful commitment. Now, as we consider this thing of commitment, may we be able to say, as Paul said, this is our theme for the year, last year. He said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. As we think about our level of commitment to the Lord in whatever category, and this is not just about stewardship, this is not just about something like faith promise giving, this is not just about finances, this is about our level of commitment. Have you made a personal commitment to your Savior in any area or in many areas? And is that commitment being kept? Or maybe do we need to revisit that? Do we need to reconsider that? Or perhaps maybe you have stumbled. You know what the Bible says? A just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. You know what God wants us to do? He wants us to be like it says in 1 John 1 and chapter 1, where we can come to Him. We can confess our sins, and He'll be faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God doesn't want to beat you down because you weren't able to keep your commitment. God doesn't want to beat you down because you stumbled and fell during your time of commitment. He wants to pick you up, embrace you in His arms, clean you up, and get you back onto the road of commitment again. That's what He wants for us. And guess what? It's a day by day by day by day thing. We all fail. We all fall. But God is there waiting for us. And He's wanting to restore us. He's wanting to give us that opportunity to serve Him again. One last thing as we close. In Sunday school, we were talking about Abraham. Do you notice that whether or not Abraham had followed God or hadn't followed God, God always repeated His covenant with Abraham. He reassured Abraham, Abraham, it doesn't matter the windy road that you've taken, I'm still here with you and I still want to accomplish this in your life. And that's how God is with us. Be reassured that God wants us to keep these things that we've committed to Him. He wants us to be committed to Him.